Nice to know.
Yeah,
Eleanor Jones Harvey is curator of the Smithsonian American Art Museum, which occupies one wing of the old Patent Office building in Washington, D.C.
We are the only place where you can go to see every facet, style, and idiom in American art from the colonial era to the present day. We were founded as part of the Smithsonian Institution. We have put together a collection that is deeper and broader than almost any other American art collection anywhere in the world.
The building that houses the museum was the site of President Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural ball in 1865. It was also used during the Civil War as a temporary barracks and hospital for wounded soldiers. The American Art Museum and National Portrait Gallery have occupied the building since 1968, but for the last 6.5 years, the building was closed for a renovation, one aimed at matching the art to its surroundings.
So we're in Lincoln Gallery. This is the space with the tallest ceilings, the broadest vistas, the most elegant vista that you have in the entire building. It seemed perfectly suited for large-scale contemporary works as a way of allowing them to soar and allow you to be transported along with them. On the first floor, where our galleries have lower ceilings and groin vaults, it was brilliantly suited to folk art and to traveling exhibitions. And on the second floor, it encapsulates the character of the 19th century, which is where those collections are now housed.
One new feature is a visible conservation center, where visitors can watch conservators cleaning and repairing works of art. Another is a system for storing art in glass-fronted cases, opening up to view nearly 3,400 works of art that would otherwise be in closed storage. The electronic superhighway by the late South Korean-born video artist Nam June Pak is one of the most popular pieces in the permanent collection. Harvey calls it Pak's video diary of the 50 states of America.
What he did was took his scrapbook impressions of each of the 50 states and wound them into 50 different 20-minute loops, each one devoted to an individual state in America. Each state is outlined in strip neon, and the longer you look, the funnier, the more poignant, the more outrageous, and the more thought-provoking the piece becomes.
The collection also includes art of the American West, including many paintings of Native Americans by 19th century artist George Catlin. Landscape paintings of the new American territories include Sierra Nevada by another 19th century painter, Albert Bierstadt.
He probably did more to introduce East Coast Americans into the topography of the western third of the country than any other artist. And when you stand in front of this piece, remember that your ancestors paid what is now $5 to stand in front of this painting and marvel at it. It's like an IMAX theater experience for the 19th century.
Harvey is also proud of the museum's folk art collection, which includes James Hampton's Throne of the Third Millennium. This time-lapse video shows it being reinstalled in the renovated museum. Hampton was a government janitor who labored 14 years after hours creating this massive piece.
He built a shrine to a personal religious system, Old and New Testament, out of spent light bulbs, tin foil, abandoned furniture, and cardboard. He wrote Gospels in a code we haven't broken yet, and it was clearly a very personal and spiritual labor of love.
The other wing of the building, the National Portrait Gallery, draws many visitors for its paintings of American presidents, from George Washington to more recent incumbents. Portraits of ordinary people are also included. For example, those from a 2006 national competition, in which artists were asked to portray someone close to them. Wisconsin painter David Lenz's portrait of his mentally retarded son and Yuki Wang's portrait of himself and his wife in Brooklyn, New York, took the first and second prizes in a field of 51 finalists from around the United States. Carolyn Weaver, VOA News.
请记住我们的网址是www.english.com。